Sweden is one of the countries in the world that is most reliant on nuclear power for energy supply. Despite its nuclear dependence, nuclear power has been surrounded by political controversy almost from the very beginning. My name is Thomas Tangeros. I direct the Sustainable Energy Transition Program at IFN Stockholm. Welcome to my podcast about the past, present and future of nuclear power in Sweden. The nuclear era in Sweden started when the parliament formulated the country's first nuclear energy policy after the end of World War II. The aim was to develop an independent nuclear industry in Sweden. This meant processing Swedish uranium deposits for use in Swedish reactor designs in order to further Swedish economic and political interests. Those interests were to supply industry and households with cheap electricity once hydropower had been exploited. But the power plant should also produce plutonium for use in the Swedish nuclear weapons program. Yes, you heard right. Sweden had ambitious plans to become a nuclear weapons superpower. Between 1954 and 1968, four reactors were completed within this program. Two were strictly for research purposes, whereas the other two could produce electricity, heat and plutonium. These reactors were all minuscule and unimportant for total energy supply. But if you happened to live in the quiet Stockholm suburb of Farsta in the late 60s, then you would have got your district heating from the Augusta nuclear power plants. This micro plant was one of the world's few combined heats and nuclear power plants. Then Sweden ratified the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons in 1970. This meant an end to all plans of developing nuclear weapons in Sweden. Instead, Swedish companies, having accumulated world-class knowledge about nuclear reactor design and construction, turned their sights on large-scale nuclear power plants for the commercial production of electricity. These plans resounded well with many politicians. In a famous quote from the era, one of them described his vision of nuclear power plants placed like a string of pearls along the Swedish coast. The oil crisis in 1973-1974 convinced many Swedes that nuclear power was the way to go to reduce oil dependence. In the period between 1972 and 1977, Sweden opened six large-scale reactors. Two at the Ringhals site, two at Oskarshamn, and two at Barsebäck. This positive investment climate did not last long. On March 27, 1979, and with impeccable timing, the Swedish Nuclear Power Inspectorate issued a permission to load Sweden's two newest reactors with reactor fuel. These were reactor 3 at Ringhals and the first reactor at the Forsmark site. On the very next day, on March 28th, the Three Mile Island nuclear plant in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, suffered a core meltdown. The accident was rated a 5 on the 7-point International Nuclear Event Scale. From one day to the next, public opinion toward nuclear power took a turn for the worse. The opposition to nuclear power grew so strong after Harrisburg that the Swedish government decided it was time for a referendum. The referendum was held in 1980 and delivered an emphatic no to nuclear power. In fact, the vote was unanimous. This seemingly exceptional result becomes less surprising upon investigation of the setup. There were three options. Under option one, there should be no new nuclear power. All currently operational reactors and those under construction should eventually be shut down, but at a pace that did not jeopardize society's need for electric power to sustain employment and welfare. Option 2 was nearly identical to option 1. The main difference was a highly controversial proposal to transfer ownership of all nuclear power to state and municipalities. Option 3 was the most radical and meant closing of all nuclear power within 10 years of the referendum, that is, by 1990. So voters, effectively had to choose between three variants of no. No wonder the unanimous vote then. Option 2 won the referendum, closely followed by option 3. But regardless of the result, the referendum was only advisory and therefore not legally binding. Nevertheless, it led to a reversal of Swedish nuclear policy. The new policy meant that there was to be no development of new nuclear power. All operational reactors and those under construction should be shut down within 30 years, that is, by 2010. Energy policy should be directed at developing sustainable and renewable energy solutions for electricity production. The following years, the remaining 6 reactors already under construction were completed. By 1985, Sweden had a total of 12 large-scale commercial reactors connected to the grid at 4 different locations near the metropolitan areas in southern Sweden. These reactors were now supplying half of Swedish electricity production. The Chernobyl disaster in 1986 intensified discussions about the dangers of nuclear power. Sweden had been heavily exposed to nuclear fallout from the accident. Some therefore wanted to accelerate the phase-out, but the accident had no real effect on Swedish nuclear policy. Replacing 50% of a country's power production is easier said than done. So what happened after the referendum? Actually, it took 17 years until the government finally took the first actual decisions to shut down nuclear power. This was in 1997. The government chose Barsebäck because of its inappropriate location, close to the city of Malmö and just across the Öresund Strait from Copenhagen. The plant's 2 reactors were finally shut down in 1999 and 2005. Meanwhile, the electricity sector had undergone significant change since 1980. In particular, the wholesale and retail markets for electricity were deregulated in 1996. By implication, the government could not just simply shut down the Barsebäck plant. Instead, the government had to compensate the owners for their losses. This compensation was converted into ownership shares in the 3 remaining nuclear power plants, Ringhals, Oskarshamn and Forsmark. One might think that this would have settled the Swedish discussion of nuclear power. But in 2010, Sweden's nuclear policy took a second U-turn. After decades of anti-nuclear sentiments, the Swedish parliament decided to allow replacement of the 10 remaining reactors by new reactors at the 3 remaining sites. This new energy policy was implemented by the Centre-Right Alliance that had ended the long reign of the Social Democratic Party in the general election 4 years earlier. The Conservatives had always been pro-nuclear, but had never really been in power to implement their own energy policy until now. Yet, the envisioned nuclear renaissance never materialized. On the contrary, the demise of Swedish nuclear power continued. 3 more reactors were shut down between 2015 and 2019. The state-owned company Vattenfall has announced shutdown of another reactor in 2020. If they carry through with this plan, this will leave only 6 of the original 12 large-scale reactors operational by next year. These latest shutdowns were not the direct result of political decisions. In a deregulated market, the decision whether to retire a generation unit depends on its expected long-run profits. Declining electricity prices since 2010 had driven nuclear power into acute profit problems. Moreover, the market expected these price effects to persist, as reflected in the long-run forward prices of electricity. A major explanation was the large amount of wind power flowing into the Swedish market due to extensive support mechanisms. Sweden had implemented a system of tradable green certificates already in 2003. Between 2003 and 2017, annual wind power production had increased by 15.5 terawatt hours. This amounts to 1,875 megawatts nuclear power running at a capacity factor of 95%. In comparison, the three reactors that were shut down between 2015 and 2019 had 2,011 megawatts of installed capacity. On an annual level, new wind power had replaced old nuclear power. So far, I've been talking about how Swedish nuclear policy has been about U-turns. In 2016, there was another. Now, the Social Democrats were back in power, this time in a coalition with the Green Party. The Energy Agreement of 2016 was an attempt by the government to establish a long-run energy policy by way of broad parliamentary compromise. To please the Conservative bloc, the government threw them a bone. This bone meant that the nuclear power policy would remain intact. In particular, there is no explicit shutdown date for the existing power plants. Owners are free to build replacement reactors at the existing sites if they so wish. But the energy agreement also states that 100% of Swedish electricity production shall be based on renewable energy resources by 2040. So, unless nuclear power suddenly turns into a renewable resource, it is hard to interpret the agreement as anything than a de facto ban on nuclear power as of 2040. By then, the six reactors without current shutdown decisions will be between 55 and 60 years old. So what is the future of nuclear power in Sweden? 40 years of rollercoaster nuclear policy actually has left Sweden very much at the same spot as before. Nuclear dependence is not very different today compared to the year of the Chernobyl disaster, despite the reduction in nuclear reactors from 12 to 7. In fact, nuclear power production was nearly the same in 1986 as in 2018. That year, nuclear power supplied 40% of Swedish electricity production. The dependence on nuclear power is a main explanation for the opposition to the energy agreement. Already when it was negotiated, three of the eight parties in the parliament voted against it. Subsequently, two more parties have left. Now, the agreement is only backed by 42% of the votes in parliament. This means that there could be another policy reversal at the next election in 2022. In particular, a number of parties want to turn the 100% renewable goal into a 100% non-fossil goal. The difference is that the latter goal does not exclude nuclear power. Will another policy reversal spark investment in nuclear power? Maybe not. First, the political risks associated with nuclear power investment would still be substantial. If history has proven anything, it is that Swedish nuclear policy is reversible. Second, state-of-the-art nuclear power is expensive. The two reactors currently under construction at Hinkley Point in southern England are built under a guaranteed price floor of 89.5 British pounds per megawatt hour. Electricity prices in Sweden and elsewhere are nowhere near these levels. Third, investors have market power. New nuclear power can only be built at the current three nuclear sites. The corporations owning these sites are also some of the largest producers in the Nordic market. Do they really have sufficient incentives to build new nuclear power given the negative effects on their other generation assets? To overcome these problems, new nuclear power in Sweden will probably need some kind of financial support system. Otherwise, the nuclear rollercoaster might finally come to a stop.